Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex. Don't keep your simper distant. It's episode 587. I'm Keith.
I'm Sean.
I'm Glenn. What did you say? Don't keep your what?
Simper distance.
Simper distance?
Yeah.
What does that mean? That's the
phrase they coined for constantly keeping your distance. Always distant.
Simper.
Oh, okay.
Simper distant.
Like Semper Fi.
Yeah, yeah.
Semper distant.
Okay. Where'd that come from? That's was that in the episode?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What they coined for. That's what the old lady coined for the old woman being 73 yards away. When they're in the pub.
Oh, okay. I guess I missed that. Which old lady?
Did you see the episode?
Yeah, apparently not.
Not the old lady that was simper distance. Mm-hmm. The other old lady.
Yeah, okay.
At the bar.
There was an old lady who lived at the bar.
Well, let's talk about what we've come here to talk about, and that's this week's episode of Doctor Who, 73 Yards.
Landing on the Welsh coast, the Doctor and Ruby embark on the strangest journey of their lives. In a rain-lashed pub, the locals sit in fear of ancient legends coming to life.
Yeah.
That is entirely inaccurate.
Yeah,
description.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it kind of describes what happened, but...
Well, I mean, it's certainly a synopsis that doesn't give away the plot.
Yep.
This is also true.
That's exactly what it is.
Keith, you want to go first this week?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode. It was such a different approach. I mean, it's something we've done before, so... RTD's claims of it's unlike anything that's come before is not at all accurate,
right?
Because he did it himself in Turn Left.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that different from that, but to do it so early in a Doctor's run and so early into introducing a new companion was interesting, and how he went about it, I thought it was so eerie and tense the entire time, not knowing what's going to happen next. And I didn't Not knowing, I mean, going into it, I don't think anybody knew or had any idea that it was going to be what it was. But even going through the time jumps, I was just constantly, what's going to happen next? How is this going to resolve? And was completely sucked in and dragged the whole way through, and really enjoyed the ride the whole entire time.
It's one of those stories that it's really good when you're watching it. But if you stop to think about it, it really kind of starts to fall apart in places. I'm like you. I was really engaged in it. I thought it was quite suspenseful for a lot of it, especially at the beginning in the pub when they're all pranking her.
Yeah, and seeing the lady just following her constantly so creepily.
Right, right. And then it's kind of a gut punch when Mom disowns her and abandoned her, and then, you know, Kate, we think's there to come to the rescue, and Unit's turned away, and it just, you know, it gut punch after gut punch, and then you kind of get that realization, or she gets that realization of what she might be there for, or might be able to do, because she's got, you know, premonition of what's to happen with this politician. What do they call him, Nuclear Jack, or Mad Jack, or whatever?
Mad Jack, yeah.
And
the fact that it takes so long for her to even get to that point is almost heartbreaking.
It
kind of makes it not as heartbreaking since she didn't get to travel with the Doctor as long. And
right.
It's just kind of like, oh, darn, I got to go out back to my life.
Right.
But it's still pretty a pretty sad situation for her since, you know, her mother disowned her and all of that jazz.
Yeah, and then they sort of ratchet up the tension a little bit, but in a different way. Not so suspenseful, but just kind of... It kind of make him a bit eerie, and especially when the other girl is introduced, and then obviously she's had some interaction with this guy that, you know, kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. And then, you know, it goes about its way, and she sort of cleverly resolves whatever ill-fated timeline we have going here. And then it keeps going. And because at that point I kind of thought, okay, well, maybe there's going to be a reset or something and she'll go back. And nope, she keeps going. Or
maybe we'd get just a 40-year-old.
Right. She keeps going.
Traveling with him. That would have been cool.
Lives another 40 years. And then she's dying. And then she finds out that the lady was her. And then it's over. And well, then they go back and everything.
And she fixes it. It becomes a bootstrap paradox.
Well, it doesn't, because he doesn't break the fairy circle right. The second time, so that resolves that. But it's over. What? And I thought, oh, you know, that was pretty good. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, where did the doctor actually go? Did she run him off? The thing started already without the theme song, which hasn't ever happened the way that it happened this time. Did she run the theme song off? And then I stole that from the Doctor Who podcast. And then, and then I got to thinking about it and I thought, you know, that was good. But what was the point? Because other than the fact that she must have been there to keep the events in that timeline from happening, I'm not sure why the 70, maybe you guys can help me out. Maybe you guys understood it better. I'm not sure why the 73 yards was a necessity. I don't know how she mystically was staying 73 yards away from herself, if it was indeed her older self. And I'm not entirely sure why or how it was happening. I'm not sure why people were running away after they went and engaged the woman at 73 yards. And so I kept thinking, well, there's a lot. And I like a story that leaves you with some, you know, mystery, but I think there at least needs to be a bit of a trail in order to get you at least to a point where you can, you know, come to your own conclusion of what maybe was happening. But I can't even get that far because I have no idea what was happening. So I'm making it sound like now I'm tearing this episode apart. I guess maybe I'm picking it apart a little bit, but I really did enjoy it. And I think Russell is able to craft a really atmospheric story, but I just think that it has a lot of holes.
Yeah, it's a really good story, I think, but I don't know if it works as well as a Doctor Who story. Mostly because it relies heavily on that supernatural elements that we've started getting more of. But the previous supernatural elements have had still somewhat of at least a supernatural explanation.
Mm-hmm.
All we get on this is it's a fairy circle. And if you don't know the lore of Welsh fairy circles, you're in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the lore of it, and I haven't gone to look them up. So I'm assuming a lot of what happens and why it happens is pulled out of that lore. But unless you kind of know that, I don't think you can really walk away with much answers as to the hows and the whys of this story.
Yeah, we know from, what was it, that Torchwood episode, Small Worlds, I think is what it was called. And Jack was talking about fairy circles and how fairies were from the dawn of time. So we've had fairies and fairy circles at least adjacent Doctor Who before, but that wasn't enough. That even wasn't enough to give me enough information to, you know, have that more background.
Sarah Jane Adventure one with Clyde, but it didn't really give us much of that explanation either.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Sean, what'd you think?
I'm of two minds on this one, because like you guys, I really liked it. At least as I think I really liked it. And like you guys, I don't know that I understood it. And the harder I try to understand it, the more I worry that the whole thing is going to completely unravel.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an instance where less was probably more. I don't think we needed the paradoxical nature of old Ruby suddenly becoming the old woman. If it had just been supernatural, you stepped in the fairy circle, you released Mad Jack, he took the persona of the incoming PM because that was the last thing that had been discussed, and as he escaped, he banished the Doctor to some other realm, and Ruby had to go through all of that stuff with this mysterious herald, and then at the end, you fixed it. Okay. I'm good with that. Just leave it right like that. And more than anything, the line that cements that for me comes from Kate when she says, "Unit was founded to, you know, investigate and combat the extraterrestrial and occasionally the supernatural," which we seem to be doing more and more of late.
Well, and she does say, "And now the supernatural." So and now the supernatural. She's acknowledged that it's a recent occurrence.
And so that, to me, you know, for all those that are in doubt as to why has Doctor Who gotten this way, well, because it's on purpose. There is a plan here. Other people in-universe have noticed, so you're not alone. Just stick with it. I really appreciated the fact that so early, you know, you look at this new season, and in theory, all these new viewers on Disney Plus, and we've gotten the very goofy, silly, kiddie type episode with Space Babies. We got the historical with the Devil's Cord. We got a hard sci-fi with Boom. And now we've gotten the pseudo-horror, the supernatural horror film. So it's kind of stepping its way through all of the different genres that Doctor Who can be. And I think that's cool. But I just, the more I try to explain the paradox to myself, the more I come back with, yeah, see, now I have questions. Because, I mean, you couldn't have done it with just Ruby being Ruby. It had to be old Ruby. Because from 73 yards away, if it was Ruby looking like Ruby, everybody would have commented, well, that looks just like you. You know? So it had to be an old woman. It had to be, there had to be some sort of metamorphosis change there if you're going to do it that way. But then what power did she have? Why did she gain this ability? What was she telling people? Was she just being brutally honest with them? Ruby has to save the world and we're all going to die unless this happens. Run away. Don't talk to her. Don't interact with her. She has to do this on her own. I mean... I guess maybe I could buy that, but at the same time, they seemed really combination freaked out and disgusted by her.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't believe that her mom would have reacted that way unless some bigger force was at play. It's like, okay, so it wasn't meant for us and it was supernatural. All right, I'll buy that. But what about, and it just kind of keeps coming back as, you know, so yeah, I liked it, and yet I don't know that it worked.
And even Ruby at the end of it is theorizing as to why all of this has happened and why she had to stick around. She doesn't truly know that getting rid of the Prime Minister was truly the reason why, because obviously it didn't fix things right away. It didn't zap her back and bring the Doctor back. As we see her go back to the TARDIS as an old person, there's nowhere in the story where it gives really sufficient answers as to how or why things happen.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm a big one for, I like a little more science in my science fiction, and historically with Doctor Who, the supernatural elements have always bugged me because they're not satisfactorily explained. And so now we have this whole series that's leaning into supernatural elements. And I'm genuinely okay with that. It's like, all right, you gave me a scientific rationale for why things are this way. All right, let's see what you can do. But I would still like you to play by some rules. And either you tell me it's supernatural, don't worry about it, in which case I'll write it off as supernatural and not worry about it, or you have to work within the framework of what I do have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? And I feel like the paradox element was just one too many things that suddenly harkened it back to, oh, there are rules here. And I feel like this whole episode would have worked better if we didn't have that.
Yeah.
But for all of that, a bravada performance by Millie. Mm-hmm. She was fantastic.
Yeah. Especially impressive considering it was the first episode she filmed.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And the whole reason why it was a Dr. Light episode was so that Shudi could finish filming Sex Education.
Right.
And it was the first, I think what she said, it was also the first script she read.
It was.
So she did all this not even knowing her character. That's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
Very much so. And I'm going to, bravo to the hair and makeup department. Because when she is 40-something...
Yeah,
and it's just her in a pair of glasses with a slightly different haircut, and yet I buy it because she did not look like Ruby. She was a different
person. She looked like Ruby. She just looked like an older Ruby.
Well, she looked like an older Ruby,
slightly and, older.
It's like, yeah, you totally look like you're 30 or 40 or you know, as it went on.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the misdirection they did with the pub was really fantastic.
Yeah.
How much they played that up to be a really horror of what's really happening, and they're just messing with her the whole time. Just was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause even racist, though... isn't it? For Welsh.
Because the entire episode has this tense sense of foreboding the entire time. And even when they reveal that, oh, what they're all saying isn't real and it's just a prank on her, that foreboding doesn't go away. So even though it lightens the mood, it just instantly drops back to it of, okay, back to where we were. It gives us a nice little bit of levity before continuing on with kind of a heavy, serious story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a... is there? I didn't think that there would be that kind of sense of immediate panic, desperation, and loss when she couldn't get back in the TARDIS. There was something about that, you know, you look up, the doctor's gone. Well, okay, there's the ship. And you go back to the ship, and you can't get in. So you pull out the key that he gave you. He entrusted to you, and it doesn't work. And it's like, oh, you've locked it from the inside.
and wait a minute.
Yeah, that just settled on my chest like this huge bout of anxiety. And it's like, oh, great, I have something else to worry about now with the show, because at any point in time, the doctor could just decide, nah, I'm done. and you know, or be gone and not available. And you know, now what? Thank God she was on Earth.
Mm-hmm. In you her know, time frame.
And it could just like, well, I guess I'll go home. And even Mel said that. She said, did they establish what year it is? You know, and then, of course, she walks in the house. I'm home. Oh, she's back. Oh, well, okay. I guess it's a... But... Oh, my God, can you imagine just turning around and the door's locked? It's not like he left you. You just can't continue anymore. And so I think that had a large play in helping to build up the tension of the subsequent events, you know, and then we get into the pub silliness and how, okay, it's going to be that episode. And now we're just pulling your leg, you know. Oh,
well, okay. And even then, in the pub, you don't know it's up until they reveal the, you know, the tap to pay stuff. You don't even know it's in the right time frame. It could be the 80s for all we can tell, and she could be stuck in the 80s throughout this whole time. So
can I pay with my phone?
That adds to the 10. that just adds to the whole tension, and it does release a little bit once you kind of get there, but still.
Well, and I definitely, when she got to the pub, I don't know if the rest of you did. What was the one that we listened to where the doctor and Charlie were in a pub? I think it was Charlie. And they were kind of recounting the memories of the people that were in there, but everything was a loop. I think it was a war story. And they didn't want to go back out because, you know, they'd have to join back up with the war or something. Anybody remember that one?
Oh, that was Fifth Doctor. Fifth Doctor was story. It was one of the ones that tied into when we were doing Time War stories. I can't remember the name of the box set that was, but yeah, that was a Fifth Doctor story.
Well, it kind of reminded me of that. And I almost thought, oh, I almost wonder if we're going to do that, you know, as another retelling, but then it went a different direction again. Mm-hmm. So. Mostly good.
So it seems like a lot of people online aren't entirely sure that it was old Ruby, but I'm pretty sure it was the whole time. You guys thought it was old Ruby.
Well, I thought
once it was got to the end, right?
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of. I thought it was somehow said, or at least implied to us. At the end.
Well, never get to see her face. Yeah. That's the thing, is even when she backs up to, and it does the whole backward rewind thing, you never get to see the old woman's true face.
Yeah, that's true.
But the dialogue over it, when you're looking from her perspective and her doing the signing or whatever she's doing, to me, that was what sealed it away as, oh, yes, that's definitely her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I definitely think it was meant to be old Ruby. But I also definitely think that's part of my problem with the episode.
It does certainly fix a little bit, like what you were talking about, Sean. If it wasn't her, it does help a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what else about this?
I'm just stuck on that. Why?
It's clearly an episode not to be deeply analyzed. Yes,
for sure.
Well, and you wind up with, you know, so it's not a bootstrap paradox because he didn't break the circle the second time around. So it wasn't necessarily meant to happen.
When even the dialogue changes for Ruby right away of, I've been to Wales three times, and she says the two, and then he calls her out on it later of, you said three, what was the third?
Yeah, I don't know.
Weatherstorm, more Doctor Who to come, so maybe we'll tie back in and then we'll get more answers about it, or maybe not, maybe it'll just be left as is.
Do we want more answers on this one?
Maybe not.
I mean, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I do. At least as much as was left unanswered in this, I don't know that I need the answers to it either. So,
I think if they're not going to answer it in the episode, we don't need to revisit it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Sean, what do we got coming up with the schedule?
More Doctor Who. And the adventure continues.
The adventure continues.
Did you guys hear the alternate title for this upcoming episode?
One of them was In Real Life, or IRL was one.
Yeah,
of them.
IRL and Monsters Everywhere.
Monsters Everywhere, yeah.
That title just makes me laugh.
Which one did they go with?
Dot and Bubble.
Dot and Bubble.
Oh. Really?
Which, seeing the trailer, it makes sense. Yeah, I think it'll make sense. But
yeah, I think it'll make a lot more sense when we see it. But.
I kind of wish Dot and Bubble or Monsters, Monsters Everywhere wound up being the title.
Well, you can find us at our website, travelingthevortex.com. If you get any value out of this podcast, why not consider putting some value back into it by clicking on that Patreon link and support us there. And also, please consider giving us a 5-star review wherever you subscribe to this podcast. Anything else we need to touch on before we close this one?
Make sure you let us know your thoughts.
Until next time, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
Good night, everybody.
Be seeing you.
Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.
Direction point! Direction point!
A Doctor Who podcast network.